All right, welcome to another episode of the Take the Shot podcast. It's just me, Nick, today, and I am going solo. Alec was a little bit too busy to watch the... Alec was a little bit too busy to record the podcast. Give me one sec. Okay. Let me see. Alex's a little bit too busy to record the podcast. Sorry, just got text about the concert tomorrow, which Alex should be going to. If he doesn't, I may kill him, and I will just say this on the pod because I know he won't listen. But yeah, we should make this kind of interesting. So fuck it, let's just get into it. The Ravens just put belt to ass the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson, greatest of all time, he is back. Yeah, Alec, sorry. Put Bell to ask your Dolphins, the other Alec, our biggest listener, but yeah. Shout out to you, yeah. Fuck the Dolphins. But yeah, Lamar, glad to see him back. But they wanted me to make this a football podcast. Let me see. Did not really prepare for this, but I'm just gonna go into it. Rams Saints, ooh, that is an afternoon game. That is disgusting, but give me the Rams. I feel like people are trying to say this is a trap game for the Patriots. We got Patriots Falcons. I honestly don't see it being really a trap game for the Patriots because the Falcons kind of suck on the road. And the Falcons have been super inconsistent all season, so give me the Patriots with their Drake May BTA belt to ass. Chargers Titans. I really don't see the Titans winning this one. Their season has been awful. But they are getting the Chargers are getting healthier. They are getting Joe Alt back, which should help their offensive line. And yeah, let's give me the Chargers. Ooh, Bengals Bears. Yep. The Bengals actually been a little frisky this season. I actually don't even know who's favorite in that game. Let me look. I'm assuming it's probably going to be the Bears, even though it is at the Bengals. But fuck it. Give me Joe Flacco. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are going to tear up that ass because from what Alec always keeps bitching about, their secondary still sucks ass. So, yeah. Give me the Bengals. Oh, yeah, Bengals are underdogs, home underdogs, +2.5. Yeah, give me the Bengals. Colts, Steelers. I did see the Steelers were slight dogs at home, +3. Colts have been putting belt to ass to pretty much every team. Does that change this week? I don't think so. The Steelers defense has been asked. Do they somehow bring it together and pull out a good win at home? They might, but I don't know. The Colts have been on a roll. And I won't say I'm a Daniel Jones believer because I believe it'll probably be a little bit like Sam Darnold last season. May not fall off right now, but get to the end of the season, get to the playoffs when that lemon booty starts to come in. Whew. I think that's probably when the fall off happens, but I think they're good. They're good for now with the Steelers. Niners are at the Giants. Yeah. San Francisco are slight favorites. Is Brock Purdy finally back, or is it Mac Jones still playing? That I do not know. Brock Purdy is questionable. I guess estimated. Oh, I guess his estimated return is for the Sunday. I suppose we'll see if he actually returns. It looks like Ricky Pearsall might also be returning as well. But yeah, if they do return, that will be great for them. Giants. R.I.P. to Cam Scadaboo's ankle. It looked bad in real life, and when they did the x-rays and stuff, they said it was worse than it looked. Have not looked into all the medicals and stuff like that, but best of luck to him. Hopefully he can come back strong. He was a real jolt for that offense. I feel like 49ers, even though their defense, like, lost their best players, they've been cooking up some heat, so give me the Niners in this one. Broncos are at the Texans. I believe this line switched. It did switch. Texans are favorites at home. I don't know how their offensive line is going to block anyone. I suppose the Broncos secondary is a little bit more gettable now that Patrick Surtain is out, but and I really do not believe in Bo Nix's offense. I feel like this is just going to be an ugly one, but give me the Broncos, and I feel disgusting saying that just because I know Bo Nix is going to make this ugly, and it's probably not going to be a good look at it first. It's probably going to be a low-scoring game, and Broncos will probably pull away at the end. That is my prediction. Okay, we got a pretty decent game in the noon slate. We got Vikings Lions. It should be a fun game to watch. Hopefully these team, I know the Lions are pretty explosive offense. They'll always put up points. Vikings still have a pretty good D. The biggest question of that team has and still is that quarterback position. Hopefully they do get that figured out, but as for now, with it being at the Lions, them coming off the bye week, I think they probably would belt ass against the Vikings. Again, sorry, Alec. Another noon game, Panthers-Packers. This game is, you know what, I will say if Bryce Young plays, I say that they cover. If he does not play, I say Packers put Bell's ass, yeah. Andy Dalton, not looking good. They really need Bryce Young out there. Jaguars, Raiders, at the Raiders. Raiders have looked awful this season. Geno Smith, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That is not the ratio you would like, but Brock Bowers is coming back. Hopefully he's healthy. Raiders are also coming off a bye week. Do they get their third? Again, this is a disgusting game. Let me check the line. Oh, Jags are favored. You know what? Jags are favored. All right, fuck it. Give me underdog. Raiders at home. Give me the Raiders. I don't believe in that pick at all, but give me the Raiders. Then we got Kansas City Buffalo. Don't know how this is not the Sunday night game. Chiefs are favored -1.5 on the road at Buffalo. Apparently Josh Mahomes, Josh Allen has won 4 straight in the regular season against the Chiefs, and then Patrick Mahomes has won 3 straight in the playoffs against the Bills. So it seems like Pat usually takes it in the playoffs, but the Chiefs need the win, need to get that record up at 5-3. They're the Chiefs, they're going to be playing for the 1 seed, so give me the Chiefs in a close one, probably a game-winning field goal. Bucker has been a little iffy this year, but we will see. Disgusting Sunday night game, because Commanders have been ass this season. Although the Seahawks actually have been entertaining and probably the best, most consistent team in the NFC West. But yeah, Jackson Smith and Jama is having a hell of a year. We got to start putting them in those talks with well, we'll see how the season finishes out. But if he finishes out the season the way it's been going, we're definitely going to start putting him in talks with Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, all those guys. So, yeah, Seahawks are on the road at the Commanders. Again, they are traveling cross-country. Those games do tend to be a little bit tougher than people give it credit for, but I just do not trust that Commanders defense, and I don't even know if Jaden Daniels is fully healthy. Give me the Seahawks. Monday night, we got the Dallas Cowboys versus the Arizona Cardinals. Again, another disgusting game. Just give me the Cowboys. They're at home. They'll put up points. Dak will probably throw to CeeDee Lamb for 150 yards and probably throw to George Pickens for another 100. So, yeah. All right, that is my football takes of the week. I will not be getting into college football just because I am not really the college guy, and I do not really care about that right now. Because guess what, guys? It is basketball season. Basketball is back, and Victor Wembanyama has been on a tear. Wemby did play tonight. The Spurs did win. Beat the Heat again. Sorry, Alec. I feel like I've been throwing out a lot of apologies to you. He probably doesn't care right now because football season is still going on. But the Heat have been better than people have been giving them credit for. Let's see. Let me check out these stats. Ooh, Andrew Wiggins actually showed up, put up 24. He doesn't usually do that. Bam had 31 and 10. Let's see who else. Simone Fontecchio had 18. Wembanyama, 27 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 5 blocks. Wemby's still putting up video game numbers because he has been on that this season. Crazy. Steph Castle, who has definitely stepped it up a level this year, had 21, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Telling you, the Spurs, they're going to be a lot better than I thought. I thought they were going to need a little time. But Wemby has just been so good. It's been crazy. Like they just, I guess when you get one, when you have one of those ones, you just get that step. Even if your team may not be the ideally structured the best, you still can work your way around that, and they are definitely working their way around that. Wemby is the offense of that team, and he has been putting a belt to ass. I guess I will just go over some quick, or I guess also I do want to point out the Bucks beat the Warriors, 120 to 110. Bucks did not have Giannis. Honestly, when they said Giannis wasn't playing this game, I kind of wish I put a bet on it, but I didn't. But I think, yeah, I guess I just had one because, like, I feel like whenever a star player goes out and they announce like day of, for some reason like teams just they feel like they're counted out, I'm guessing, and like they just want to like go all out and just show that they're more than just Giannis, and they fucking did that and they beat the Warriors. But the Warriors have been having a good season. To my well, I guess I'm not surprised that they started so well. I just want to see how it continues, just because that team is so old. And with old, even though their players aren't, well, Jimmy Butler has been very injury prone. Steph, more or less, but Steph does take really good care of his body. But and Al Horford, he honestly never gets injured, but just really worried about that team because they are so old, and old teams do tend to get injured and do not stay healthy. So I really want to see how they last throughout the season. Let me give some more big view thoughts. Oh, Chicago Bulls are actually number one in the Chicago Bulls and the Philadelphia 76ers are number one in the conference. Who could have seen that coming? The Bulls, I feel like that will normalize at some point. But they are off to a great start. Definitely, I took their over because they win like 40, 41 games a year. I figured there'd be a 500 team. That was like an easy over for me. I felt like the books were way too low on that. The 76ers, that is, they had the highest variable, but Tyrese Maxey has stepped it up a level. He is going insane right now, and just fuck, it's just hard to believe like how good he is. But yeah, he has been keeping that team alive. And even brought them back against the Wizards. Also, VJ Edgecombe, the number three overall pick. He's been a lot better as a rookie than I would have thought he would have been, at least like coming out. I figured it would have took him some time. Just being, I figured he's more of like a raw prospect, but looks like Baylor may just not have used him right at all last year, but who could have seen that coming? Milwaukee's also at the tops of the East at 4-1. I will say the Cavs and Knicks have been a little disappointing. Cavs, Knicks, Magic, Pistons, all been a little bit disappointing to start, but again, it is still early in the season. They can easily turn that around. I suppose the biggest worry is with the Knicks. I know Jalen Brunson did get injured. I've not really checked the status on that, but hopefully it's nothing too serious and he comes back soon. Trae Young, it seems like his injury was a little bit more serious. I was already kind of down on the Hawks, and if Trae Young is out, I am very down on the Hawks. For me, everyone is big on the Hawks, but for me, I gotta see it first. I will believe it when I see it with the Hawks, just because I feel like people have talked to the Hawks before and they have not delivered. But yeah, I suppose those are probably the biggest surprises. But I'm sure once 20 games in, things will probably start to normalize a bit more. The Pacers and the Nets are both 0-4 and 0-5 respectively. Yeah, the Nets, they definitely might not hit their over-under, because the only two people on that team that can score consistently are MPJ and Cam Thomas. So if they are not hitting on all cylinders, it will be a tough night for them. Pacers have just been hamstrung with injuries early, already missing Tyrese Maxey for the year. Bennedict Mathurin got injured. Sounds like he's day-to-day, but we'll see. I know Andrew Nembhard had a shoulder thing, but I think he's back. But I'm sure he's probably playing through it. They did just sign Mac McClung. We'll see if he gets some playing time. Hopefully he does. I want to see him just throw down some dunks. But yeah. I've been enjoying the basketball lately. It's been fun. OKC has not disappointed at all. They are leading the West. San Antonio's right behind them at 5-0. That is a little bit of a surprise, but Wembanyama again, Wemby, he's been like that. Nuggets and the Warriors right behind them. Again, it is still early in the West. A lot of teams are at well, there's a lot of teams with just like two losses. There's like what, seven teams with two losses. Not everyone's played the same amount of games yet, so again, people will move up and down in the standings. Ant Edwards, he is out for a couple of weeks with a strained hamstring. We will see if he comes back in 2 weeks. Minnesota did play a hell of a game last night. Austin Reaves called game though. Austin Reaves has been going off, and at this time, the Lakers are probably going to pay what they weigh. And yeah, Austin Reaves, you are getting that max. You are getting that max. And all since AP is not on the pod, bye LeBron. Have fun wherever you are next year. But probably won't be on the Lakers. I know a lot of people are throwing out some trade scenarios. It's just hard to trade a salary that big. And again, with LeBron being at his age and with his sciatica and him being an old man, not sure if people want to give up that much. So yeah, but yeah, LeBron, your time on the Lakers has been great, but sorry. All right. Lauri Markkanen, he had a 51-point game. Oh yeah, there has been a lot of high scoring games to start off the season. The highest or on the pace for highest in history. I believe that will normalize at some point. Also, the fouls have been up, but honestly, I just think that's because the talent is so good in the NBA. It's honestly the reason why I'm so excited is just because the talent has been it's at the best level it's probably been in probably ever. Like, I just don't think I've ever seen the league this talented, and it feels like it's just getting more and more talented every year. Adam Silver, come on, get us those two expansion teams, because I feel like even like the Valkyries, like get an expansion team, you still might be able to make some noise if you select the right players. So that would be fun. Although I know he's a little bit more concerned with NBA Europe. I guess since we're talking about the NBA, we probably should talk about the gambling scandal. Terry Rozier, Chauncey's a little bit separate. He was named in both, but not technically not named in the gambling one. But they basically put out his biography out there without actually saying it was him. But yes, so Terry Rozier is basically on administrative leave without pay. While the federal government investigates and the NBA, I suppose they give her whatever they know. I guess we just don't really know how the original investigation went. The NBA was working with law enforcement. We I guess from what I heard from Brian Windhorst, because he had a lawyer on, the lawyers, or not the lawyers, but the law enforcement, they could do the investigation and they basically could have all the info, but technically not give any to the NBA. And basically, they could have all they could have said is like, yeah, we just don't have enough to indict him or whatever. So basically, if they didn't have enough to indict him, the NBA just had to keep letting him play. It seems like they might have more coming back around this time. I know some people have used the term that he was cleared. I guess the NBA never cleared him. They just never had the evidence to keep him off the court. But yeah, things are going down, man. Kind of interested to see how it goes. I'm sure Pablo will be dropping more bombs. Apparently, well, I guess small bomb he dropped today is Ty Lue is kind of involved with the Chauncey Billups in the Vegas poker scandal. That has put Chauncey on administrative leave without pay. We will see how that turns out. But it's not looking good. I guess we'll just see how much Chauncey really knew about these poker games. We'll just see if he was like and just invited to them and just was playing, or if he actually knew about these rigged games. But yeah. Won't do a recap of last week again because I'm just keeping this pod short because it is late and I've been busy. Yes, so let me finish out with this. So I asked both Alex for their top five candies. My co-host AP did not give his, but the other Alec did. I will give you his top five. At number five, he had Fun Dip. Number four, he had Smarties. Ooh, okay, I don't know about the Smarties. Three, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Two, Mini Reese's, or sorry, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Mini Cup. Number one, Swedish Fish. Yeah, you just said the mini cups hit different than the big cups. Because again, most of you guys will be listening to this on Halloween, so happy Halloween. My top five candies, let me give them now. You know, all right, I'm not again, no, we've been over this, not a huge chocolate person, so the chocolate will be towards the end of my list. I will have two chocolate items. My first one will be Twix. Twix, just say it's different with the chocolate and the caramel and that cookie in the middle. Definitely my favorite chocolate bar. I don't really consider Reese's a chocolate bar. That's different. But speaking of Reese's, next up would be Reese's Cups. Won't say I really have a strong opinion either way over the minis or the regular size or the extra large, but Reese's peanut butter and chocolate, it's kind of an OP combo. Really cannot beat that. What else? Oh, my number three. Number three, I'll probably go like Warheads. Do love me some sour candy. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think I'll go with Warheads. I'm trying to think if there's any other sour candy I like that I might put on top of that. Well, yeah. I'm more of the gummy fruit candy kind of guy, so that's usually what I prefer. So I'll go Warheads number three. Always got to give love to the green apple and blue raspberry. Number four, I will go with. Oh, sorry, no. Well, that was my number three. Going down. Number two, I am going to go with Sour Patch Kids. Sour Patch Kids, again, classic, great sour candy. Honestly, just undefeated. The blue ones, chef's kiss, amazing. And my number one candy, shout out Marshawn Lynch. Gotta run through a motherfucker's face over and over and over and over again. And I know people do like to say all, even though they taste different, all of them are technically the same flavor, which I just believe is actually false because I don't know if people just all shove them all in their mouth at once and don't really have the individual flavors, but for me, I just go individual flavors. I don't really go all. I don't really want to just take a handful and go all in. But yes, my number one is Skittles. And just in case if anyone has a complaint and says I need to choose a particular type of Skittles, I will go with Sour Skittles, the OG. Also, Skittles, please bring back the green apple. It was way better than lime, but come on. Like, let's not cap. I know some people are lime heads, but come on. The green apple was so good. The green apple was the best one. Fuck, bring that back, but... honestly, Skittles just got so many different varieties. All good. But yeah, Skittles would be my favorite Halloween candy. And let's see. Oh yeah, and I guess I'll take a quick shot before I leave. And my shot this week is going to be about YouTube TV and ESPN. Literally, just figure the fuck out. Like, why do you guys always got a beef and then fucking raise prices on us? What you got? Apparently, their agreement just expired tonight, and YouTube TV, I guess, will be giving customers a $20 credit, which is nice, while ESPN is gone, but not nice because I kind of need ESPN for the NBA season, so what the fuck? I guess they're lucky I just won't be able to watch it tomorrow night because of the, or I guess because I'll be at a concert, which Alec will be at, or I will kill him, so he may just not be on ever. Also, Alec will be off for a couple of weeks, just because next week he will be he'll be in Charlotte, so fuck it, if you're in Charlotte and listen to this, go find him, he will be somewhere in there. But yeah, YouTube TV and ESPN, figure it the fuck out, come on. And figure it out without raising prices on us at the end. Thank you very much. Yeah, so that was my take the shot. Do I have anything else for you guys? I will probably try to do a couple solo pods. I don't know, we'll see. I've been working more full time, so haven't had as much time, especially keeping up with the gym and everything. But yeah, that has been my life in a nutshell, but I will talk to you guys later.